My guests in studio today comprise a Texas band known for their high-energy live shows, and they just released their sophomore album last year on Dallas's own Idol Records. We're going to take some time to learn more about the band, spin some of their tunes today. Sitting down with me in the KETR studios are Corey Howe, Evan Johnson, Vince Tooley, and Ed Cheney, who make up the band Dead Flowers. Guys, thank you so much for being here.
Howdy, Matt.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
It's always great to have all these, you know, one musician is great, but you can't beat taking up every microphone that we've got, filling up the place with some artists. This is a lot of fun for me, and I hope you guys enjoyed your trip out here today.
Oh, yeah.
First time in Commerce, I would assume.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Gotcha. Well, hopefully not the last. We'd love to have you back out again. How do you guys describe the band's sound to a newbie if you run into somebody who's never heard you guys before, and they're like, so what's Dead Flowers all about anyway? I know that's difficult to do sometimes, but how do you do that? Whoever wants to tackle this.
Evan, why don't you take that one?
We're just good old-fashioned rock and roll. Definitely hear that we're from Texas in there. There's some blues and country elements and a little bit of punk rock to it, a little bit of just kind of hard-nosed rock and roll.
A little bit of drunk rock in there, a little bit.
Definitely.
A whole lot of it.
Very nice. So I got to ask, how did the band name come about? I'm assuming this is not a reference to the Rolling Stones tune.
I always get asked.
I bet you do.
Yeah, I'd like to finally clear that up. No, definitely not a Rolling Stones reference. It was like to avoid like a sappy story or whatnot. One of our first shows I played with Vince was in Chicago. Me, him, and my buddy Chris Bach, we had a band out there, and our first show we got there, and there was this random vase of Dead Flowers.
Okay.
And previous to that, since my childhood, maybe since I was 10, 11 years old, I've been crushing flowers and books, drying them out. And after I unfortunately had to bury a good friend, I had a bunch of these, and it was kind of a symbol. And to me, like, Dead Flowers was... a way of preserving the legacy and thoughts of people that I've loved and will love for a while. And
no, that's it. Honestly,
like
it is pretty deep when you think about it. Because when you break it down, I guess I hadn't really thought about this, but Dead Flowers are kind of like something that was once vibrant, living, and
exactly.
beautiful, and preserving it in a mummified state. I guess
totally
look at that.
And also to me and to the guys, you know, all of our friends that come out, we always say friends, not fans. You know, I consider all of those people that, like, that same just vibrant energy in our lives that's really helped and pushed us through, you know?
Nice.
Yeah.
That's Corey, the vocalist for Dead Flowers, and the whole band's with me in studio here this afternoon, in case you're just joining us on Notably Texan. Guys, let's go back a couple of years to the debut 2013 release, which was called For You. I understand you guys utilized a successful crowdfunding campaign to back that album, right?
Yeah,
we did. Yeah.
That's awesome. And this, more and more artists that I talk to have been doing this, but for people that aren't familiar, can one of you explain what crowdfunding is and how that works?
You ask for the support of your, you know, the people that love you as, you know, artists or musicians or families and, you know, people that really support you to help you get off the ground. And it was a way for us to really give something back in the same sense, because we had a series of gifts that we could give back to.
Yes.
So a lot of that was personal parties, and we cooked dinner for people.
Oh, still seriously. Dinners.
Yeah, and there was some interesting and stressful times just because you're leading up to funding a record, but it was totally worth it, and being able to give back, and some people got a piece of that first record. You know, they're a big part of it.
Yes.
So I thought that was really cool about the crowdsourcing for that.
Yeah, and it also, there was a woman by the name of June, called her June Bug. She lives in Fort Worth, and she randomly found our Kickstarter.
Really?
Supported it. Yeah, and then came out to a show, and it was really cool to see. She was just literally shopping around on Kickstarter or something
wow.
like that, just like looking for something to support that she had believed in. And that was, I mean, really what like pushed that record through. We were, I mean, both like locally in Dallas, we had some good friends from Chicago chip in and, you know, around the nation. So, yeah.
That's fantastic. And I think it's just such a cool way for you to really get kind of that one-on-one interaction with your hardcore fans. And, and they're going to feel, and this, I always refer to this, we're a listener-supported radio station. So in a lot of ways, that's how, you know, we're operating on the same deal here.
Yeah,
we're just basically
sure.
putting the hat out there and saying, please, please, we're desperately pleading with you to donate your money to get something that you enjoy. You know, in your case, an album, in our case, a radio service. And it really is a great way to kind of interact with and you know, tune right in with those hardcore fans of yours that are willing to dig into the wallet, you know?
Absolutely.
Well, you self-produced the record for you. I understand you guys were kind of doing everything you could to keep it real with like minimal overdubs and only instruments that you would use on stage. And that's kind of a rare thing these days. Everything is just kind of crazy overproduced, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We actually had a little, Jeffrey Sines from J. Charles and the Train Robbers was actually technically the producer for that.
Okay.
We originally went into it and we were kind of, we wanted to do it ourselves. And then, you know, you realize that you do want somebody else to kind of assist and to
sure.
put forth ideas. And Jeffrey did just that. He did a great job with that album. I mean, there's still some songs in there that I listen to every now and then. I'm like, whoa, that was cool. I remember, you know, and I forgot that was something that was offered up versus something that we had brought into the table. And mm-hmm. it really made that record what it is still today. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it helps to have those versatile voices, and especially people maybe with some experience that mm-hmm. that they can bring to the table on your debut album. I have no doubt that would have helped, of course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You guys were kind of going for more of the sort of Americana rock alt-country sound on that first record, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. I would say.
And that's cool. That's a popular vibe right now, too, you know, and mm-hmm. and that did come out a couple of years ago, but it stands up pretty darn good right now, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, we wanted... Our idea was that whatever someone saw us at a show and they wanted to buy a record because they thought that we sounded great or put on a good show, they could take that home, put it on in the record player, and then...
Oh, that's what I just saw.
Yeah, exactly. Just
yeah.
Know exactly that, you know, give them exactly... And you know, our sound's changed a little bit now on the second record. We've matured quite a bit.
Sure.
And we're definitely a little edgier on the second record. And,
right.
And a little more... heavier, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, and we're gonna talk about the, yeah. the newest record and play some cuts from that in a little bit here.
Cool.
But yeah, folks can kind of get, I guess you could say, a slightly different sides of the band Dead Flowers on the couple of different releases that are out there right now. And I don't want to get too far off in the weeds on this, but you know, selling records these days is not what it once was. Obviously,
sure.
You guys, I have no doubt that you're kind of having to find your way in the music world like every artist mm-hmm. who's not on some major Beyonce-type level out there, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
not to draw parallels at all between you guys and Beyonce.
Hey, Beyonce wants to cover a Dead Flower song. She's
hey.
More than welcome to write that check.
You never know. You never know. And she is another Texas artist, of course.
Right.
But
right.
anyway,
yeah.
I mean, you guys are having to sort of find your way in this new crazy music world where mm-hmm. the kids don't go to record stores and buy records. I deal with college students on a regular basis here at the university, and they're often asking me what this weird shiny disc that I'm using is because they've never seen a CD before, and I'm like,
yeah.
man, have you even heard of vinyl? You know,
oh,
which is making a big comeback. But anyway, I mean, how are you guys finding that you can get your albums in the hands of people? Do they actually like to buy CDs at the shows, or is
yeah,
it more digital?
For sure.
Or
we do really well at like selling merch and CDs, albums. At shows.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And then for us, our main success is just that we've put everything that we make just right back into the band, and so we've been able to fund these records ourselves and with the help of our friends, and mm-hmm. We're funding our tour.
Nice.
Yeah. To this day, we as a band, I don't think we've probably taken more than $100 as a payout from a show. And
really.
And that's three, almost 4 years.
Wow.
When I put this together, I told the guys, and I didn't know Evan or Ed. We had just met. I didn't know them very well. And I was like, you know, I want to put a band together. But this is, you know, the rule is everything we make is going to go back into the band so that we can. And we've had seven different T-shirts, you know, four different stickers, you know, two records, one vinyl, waiting on
nice.
The second vinyl now. I mean, and that's all because we're supported by people that come to the shows, but that we also are smart about, you know, instead of just
what we do with
all.
That. Yeah.
That's got to be hard. I mean,
yeah.
you know, for
me.
Anybody who puts something into a project and it's like, wow, we suddenly have money, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's
yeah.
going to be very difficult to not just put that directly into the pocket, I would imagine. So I commend you for that.
Well,
for sure.
Subway.
I think too that just the way that we perform live really equates to people kind of wanting it after they see us. And so I think that's the important thing with trying to sell records now, because it's harder to get into the hands of somebody that's going to, you know, spread you by word of mouth. They kind of have to see you. And I think we've got a grassroots approach that's just killer. I mean, not trying to brag or anything, but, you know, you get us in front of people and people seem to react. And
people
so,
respond, yeah.
And so it's cool to be a part of. I'm happy.
You guys have really good radio voices. Vinny and Evan have really good radio voices.
Yeah.
Well, me and Ed are like, hey,
not the face,
hi.
Though.
You've got a face for radio.
We have some very tender tones in the studios here this afternoon. Along with me are Vince, Corey, Ed, and Evan from the Dallas band Dead Flowers. For folks that maybe haven't caught one of your tunes here on Notably Texan, I wanted to spin a cut from the debut album. This one's called 45. What can you tell me about this tune before we take a listen to this? I'm assuming this is not a reference to a vinyl record, right?
No, I wrote the song in maybe years ago. Played it for a buddy of mine, Frankie, and at an open mic, actually, Fallout Lounge, before that closed, and I didn't have a name for it, and he told me it was too good, it deserved a name, so I named it after him.
Okay, cool.
Frankie 45.
Well, this is off of the debut record, which is called For You, and this tune is called 45. Stick around, we're going to come back and talk more with the entirety of Dead Flowers, all in studio with me this afternoon. We've got the guitarist Corey, bassist Evan is with us. I'm sorry, I shorted Corey on vocals. I guess he does that too.
That's all right. Every now
and then. And Vince is the lead guitarist, and Ed, the drummer, is with us here as well. Check out their tune 45. You're listening to Notably Texan on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Come gather around, get my friends. Time to take you on another ride. Through the tunnels and trenches of despair in a young man's mind.
Dallas, Texas music by Dead Flowers. That's called 45. You just heard it on 88.9 KETR, listener-supported radio for Northeast Texas. Notably Texan is on the air. I love that rockin' tune, guys. I think it's a perfect intro to what you guys are doing, because we're just discussing it off the air. It's kind of got all these different influences that go into making a cool tune like 45. And the first time I played it, I did freak out a little bit with all the little false stops in there. But I've learned now. I don't panic anymore when I play that one.
That's funny.
We might need to pull that song back out.
Yeah.
After hearing it,
we're
going to put that back in the live rotation.
Definitely, man. That's a great one. Well, you guys, I'm assuming we're each involved in separate projects and bands before Dead Flowers, and I don't want to, you know, take the entire interview, what we've got here with you guys just talking about yourselves, because we all love to talk about ourselves, but I do want to open it up to have you each kind of briefly talk about any bands and projects that you might have been involved in prior to this that you want to admit to anyway. why don't we start with Evan?
I play in a little sort of collective of a band called Collab.
Okay.
We play every Tuesday night. I've been doing that for about 8 years now. Sort of loosely hip-hop based, but kind of
really
goes all over the place.
So is it like live instrumentation? Or?
Yeah.
Very cool.
At its core is just drums, bass, guitar, but we've had keyboard players, horn players, all kinds of instrumentation, and then a kind of a rotating cast of MCs and vocalists.
That's sweet. And so you're playing bass on this?
Yes.
That's cool, man. That's got to be a lot of fun. Very drastically different from this project, obviously.
Oh, very much so. It's just kind of my leg-stretching gig. It's
okay.
Evan never stretches, by the way.
No, I just thought about you stretching.
No.
That's the basis for Dead Flowers, Evan, for folks that are still trying to associate the voices with the personnel here. How about you, Ed? You take care of drums with the band. What do you do when you're not playing with Dead Flowers?
Well, I play in an instrumental kind of a surf rock band called the Aquaholics.
Oh, that's awesome.
And, so I've been in that band for about 5 years, and we play shows on and off. And like Corey was saying, I've played in, you know, a lot of bands in and out of Dallas for a long time. So mostly
cool
metal bands, but you know,
rock.
I love all types of music, but you know, so yeah, the Aquaholics. Yeah,
like we're Dick Dale meets Slayer. It's
yeah, that's,
really
that's
cool.
One way you could
really
describe
cool
it. Yeah. Yeah.
I've got to look into this.
They're a lot of fun.
Do they have any, does the band have any recordings, or
we
is it
do,
just a live
we do
band?
We're actually going to be putting out an album this year, but we're, you know,
awesome,
just waiting on a couple things to line out first.
You guys remember me with all these extra projects of yours, because I do everything I can to stay on top of all the music of Texas, but as you
sure
can imagine, it's impossible.
When
everybody in a band has three different bands that
right
they're in, it's
yeah.
Right.
It gets a little overwhelming sometimes. So that's awesome. Well, thanks for letting us know about what else you do. Corey, how about you?
I'm the youngest, or I guess I am the youngest in the band, but also the youngest musician. I was a big athlete and going through high school,
okay,
middle school and everything. Played baseball and football and everything. And then it wasn't until I got to college, I was 18, I picked up the guitar. And
really?
Vince actually is like one of two people that like really taught me how to play guitar between him and our other best friend, Chris. He doesn't want me to say that because I'm a bad guitar player. He could have taught me better. But I basically was just solo acoustic, and I would slow down Cat Power songs. I was so slow. It was like the slowest ever. And it wasn't until, you know, Vinny sat in with me one day and we recorded a song called Gavriel for my grandfather. And it was at that moment where like the sparks hit, and then I was like, "You're mine." And so we fell in love. We eloped. Eventually, we made him move down here to Dallas from Chicago, and now we're here. So really, my only project's ever really been Dead Flowers.
Okay, well that's cool. Yeah. That's very interesting. You know, so many people. You know, start out in music way earlier than that, so that's kind of an interesting tale. and Vince, you're the lead guitarist for the group. What else have you been involved in? I think you had a band up in Chicago, right?
Sort of. A lot up there. Basically, I sat in with a lot of singer songwriters, just kind of try to make their songs a little more in depth, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's kind of how I met Corey. Since I moved down here, though, I'm in another band called Sugarfoot, which is kind of more like 50s, 60s rockabilly, kind of that kind of feel to it.
Wow.
So it's a lot of fun. And before that, I was helping my dad recreate Engelbert Humperdinck songs and old songs like that.
Who isn't, you know, honestly? I mean,
there's only so much of that that you can kind of put your stamp on, I guess. But it helped me be a better musician because of having to figure out standards and chord structures. But yeah, definitely a lot of fun. And I like to offer my musical, I couldn't call them talents, but to whoever really wants. So, but Corey, this is the main focus for me is Dead Flowers.
That's right.
That's awesome. I'm just blown away at the eclectic nature of all your different projects. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if you were like, I'm in another rock band or, you know, in other groups that are so similar to what you're already doing, but you guys have got your fingers in many different projects out there.
And I think that's really like the reason that we were able to create what we've created so far.
Yeah.
And we keep growing. Our third record is almost done being written, and it's completely different from the second.
Really?
Yeah. And it's really because we all come from such different backgrounds, and I wouldn't change it.
And we never really set out to be any particular kind of band. Like
that helps.
We just, Corey brings these skeletons to the jam room, and we just kind of flesh them out with what just kind of fits.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. I think this is exciting. I'm just imagining what your fifth or sixth record is going to be. It's going to be some kind of, you know, a reggae or something. I don't know. Yeah. I have no idea.
I've been like 4 months and we'll have that ready.
Dead Flowers are my guests this afternoon on 88.9 KETR. We discussed that you're almost all Dallas natives. Vince, you got down to Texas as quick as you could, but the rest of you grew up in Dallas, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's cool. So do you give Vince a hard time?
No,
because he moved down here to be in our band,
that's
so
true.
We don't give him a hard time.
We're pretty nice to him.
That's true.
I get special treatment.
Well, lucky you, man. We're accepting of anybody who got to Texas as quick as they could, so it's all right, man. We're glad you're here. Well, you guys didn't waste any time after that debut release. I understand you kind of started work in the studio less than a year later on His Blues, right?
Yeah, correct.
Right.
So, and I can understand that, knowing what I've kind of learned about you guys, it sounds like you're just kind of overflowing with new ideas all the time.
Yeah.
No doubt thanks to all of these influences and kind of giving you guys some ideas of what to do. And the sophomore record kind of found you displaying more kind of guitar-driven rock with some heavier vibes, right?
Yeah, yes. Totally. our theme for that, producer Jason Robert Burt, one of our good buddies, was Double That.
Okay.
Double That.
Double That.
Do that again.
That's reminding me of what was it? I've heard that George Lucas's number one direction on Star Wars was faster and more intense.
Yeah.
So it sounds like pretty much the same thing.
Right. We did that whole record in 10 days, tracked, mixed, and mastered everything. Spread out, but 10 days. We were down in Dripping Springs for a week when we tracked it. And
cool.
A couple days for mixing. And then, it was a fast scenario.
Definitely
a
whirlwind.
Yeah. And he had some really cool ideas going into it, and the way that he wanted to mix everything really low in frequency to just make everything sound, you know, to me, it's almost like you're an astronaut helmet.
Okay. Yeah. 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 Let's check out this tune, I'm Leaving. What can anybody tell me about this cut?
It was a guitar riff that I had written, a while ago and decided to show it to the guys, and Court worked his magic, Ed worked his magic, and Evan did his amazing things that he always does. And really the song kind of took off, and when we started playing, we're like, all right, I think this could be the single off the record. It's kind of a fan favorite when we play live, and it's got those blues undertones for sure.
Yeah,
and,
a little angst.
Yeah, a lot of little angst. lot.
And when we do this one live, I get to there's a pause, and I get to sometimes do little burlesque moves, which I think the ladies really quite and enjoy. You know,
we're gonna ensure that he does those during the song here in the studio for your benefit on radio, folks. Let's check it out here. This is I'm Leaving by my guests, Dead Flowers. And hey, don't leave now, because they're going to come back and talk a little bit more with us here on 88.9 KETR. You're listening to Notably Texan. Dallas, Dead Flowers. That is called I'm Leaving. That is off of their latest release. You can find that on Idol Records out of Dallas. And the members of Dead Flowers are my special guests this afternoon on listener-supported 88.9 KETR. You guys are, I think, right on the heels of embarking on a big tour in support of His Blues, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes,
sir. Like, is this coming up in the next couple of days here that you're heading out?
No, thank God. Okay. You scared me, Matt.
I'm sorry.
You scared me. I was like, I have so many things to do. No, we're tentatively, I believe our first date is April 22nd, which will be in Tulsa.
Whew, all right.
Yeah, we originally were actually leaving in a couple of days, but we postponed the tour just so that we could wait till after South By. And
oh, sure.
We got accepted into the Canadian Music Week Toronto Music Festival thing.
Really?
So yeah, we're going up there to do that, and because of that, we had to push it back a little bit, which I don't think any of us really mind at all.
No, we don't.
Let it get a little warmer up there. Yeah.
So where can people go to kind of keep up with the band online? I assume you've got some pretty heavy online presence.
We actually just started a website. It's www.deadflowersdffe.com. And we're doing a pretty good job updating it, I think.
Cool.
We'll have the whole tour schedule posted up there whenever everything's all finalized. We're still waiting on a few dates. And then also on our Facebook page, which is Facebook Dead Flowers Band, I believe.
It is,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I imagine if somebody wants to go search Dead Flowers on Facebook, you'll come up in the list.
A lot of Rolling Stones covers.
But I was going to say, yeah, I know. If you just Google Dead Flowers, you might have to scroll down a little bit, because from my experience, the first thing that came up was a YouTube video of the Rolling Stones tune.
Yeah.
But you can find them. Just don't give up if you're going out there to search this band, which I certainly suggest that you do.
For sure.
You know, while I've got you here, guys, I was wondering if any or even all of you would be kind of willing to talk about where I mentioned earlier, a listener-supported radio station here. So yeah, I don't have to explain that to the listeners or to you guys, because we haven't had to stop down for a single advertisement. I haven't had to tell anybody that that the studios are named by some corporate entity or anything like that. Where it's kind of a rarity in this landscape these days. Everything is so advertisement and commercial driven. It's kind of an oasis away from all that on public radio. But would any of you like to kind of talk a little bit about the importance of listener supported radio?
Evan, that's
absolutely. Yeah. Much like this station, we have KXT in Dallas. It's just been an absolute godsend to the local music scene. Our buddies, Somebody's Darling, they play Jay Charles, they play Sarah Jaffe, they play Madison King, just all of these amazing local artists that comprise a really thriving local music scene, and without these outlets, like, the commercial stations aren't playing it. They canned the one guy that was playing local music, and he's now going to a I think they're nonprofit, but another local station that's going to be playing local music.
Yes.
And just without you guys, it wouldn't be possible to have this voice.
Exactly.
So.
And really on that, I never really believed in the power of radio as far as like these days of actually like turning people on to new music. But there's been countless shows that we've played, like Untapped and like some larger festivals, and also some like random small club shows where like people have showed up and been like, hey, Dead Flowers, and heard you on the radio, figured to come check you out. And it always blows my mind that actually works. And it's a constant reminder to, you know, without these sorts of types of radio stations, bands like us wouldn't be able to get heard.
Exactly. I mean, every band's got to start somewhere. You know, there was a time when, Willie Nelson was begging stations to take his stuff, or, you know, name any band that is huge right now. They all started off somewhere. And a lot of the times, you know, it's the non-commercial, the listener-supported stations that are going to give a band some of their first airplay and some of their first interviews and stuff. You know, good luck. And maybe you guys can talk about how hard it maybe is to get attention from the commercial stations. You know, I mean, playing your stuff, much less doing an interview, I assume, is kind of an impossibility for a lot of stations.
Have we had any interest from the commercial stations?
I don't believe so.
I don't believe so, and I think that it comes down to the autonomy that stations don't have, especially commercially backed. You don't get program directors that have that ability to play what they like or necessarily what they think is good local music, because they're being spoon-fed what is going to be coming down from a record label. And nothing against record labels, but they have the marketing budget to, you know, back that. I'm not saying payola exists, but stuff like that does happen. And a station like this allows a local band like us the power to reach people that maybe we never would have had a chance to, and also be able to be turned on to other bands that we wouldn't normally hear or even think of hearing. And I think that's truly important as an artist and as a band, especially here in Texas where there's such a big market for music. I know that coming from Chicago, like, it's not the same.
Really?
It's the attention that people play to music here is more important in the everyday lives of Texans as opposed to people from Illinois. Like, you kind of just go to what's popular, what you hear on the radio or what you read in a blog, as opposed to kind of checking out a local band that you never really would, or you're just walking by like, those guys are good in there, I'll check that out. But
that's fascinating.
Well, it's just something that I've noticed as an outsider coming down here. But I'm a homeowner now, so I'm a Texan.
You are a bona fide Texan. Well, no, that's really interesting to hear, because, you know, we never really know what it's like in other portions of the world or the nation, even on, you know, unless you've lived there, you just don't know how much they appreciate music like we do.
For sure. And I can't be thankful enough for stations like ATR, for sure.
Well, thank you. That's great. So what else is new with you guys that you might want to talk about before we run out of time today? I always like to just throw you under the bus and see if there's anything we haven't touched on that you wanted to discuss while I've got you here, guys.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're right now, we know what's next for us is just touring. We're going to be doing a pretty extensive tour. It's actually going to be our first tour, pretty big one for first timers.
Yeah.
And
this
we're going to be
well outside of Texas, right?
we're shooting up. We're doing about 5 shows a week for 6 weeks.
Wow.
And that includes like in stores and in studios.
Gotcha.
We're with Galactic booking, and then we're using Musebox for our PR.
Okay.
And we'll be going up to Toronto for the Canadian Music Week, New York, Nashville, Chicago, Detroit, all the way down the Southeast Coast and then back into Texas. So we're excited. I think everybody's equal parts excited.
Yeah, we're doing a little stir crazy. We're ready to get out on the road.
I bet. Yeah. I can understand.
We love Dallas, but it's something new and something exciting to go somewhere that you haven't been. And that's why that's why I signed up to do this. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would assume it's in your blood. You got to get out there. You can't be cooped up forever.
Exactly.
We've been pretty much full steam ahead since this band got going, and it's just kind of it's the point that we're at that this is the next step is to take it outside of Texas.
Yeah, absolutely. We can't do it without the support of our friends and family and everyone that's paying to come to shows and, you know, just supporting us along the way. It's been pretty awesome experience.
It's exciting too, because you get to see what you can't call it product, but what you've put your heart and soul into and how people are going to react outside of your immediate social circle.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Like, do people love us or do they love the band?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. I've had like people come out from work and be like, oh, we came out to support you. But we didn't think we'd actually like it. Yeah. Blah, blah. And I'm like,
thanks.
Like,
thank
you.
No, buy a CD.
So, yeah.
I'll go buy a CD.
No, but it's exciting because I really have high hopes for us as a band, and I think that going on the road is going to be kind of what we all want to do. And when everybody's in the same boat, rowing the same way, there's only one way to go.
Yep. There sure is.
Talking about
Texas. Texas, come to Canada.
Dead Flowers are my guest for a couple of more minutes here on 88.9 KETR. How great is it working with Idol Records and Irv over there in Dallas? This guy is phenomenal from my side of things to work with. He's always hooking us up with bands that I might not have otherwise been aware of, like Dead Flowers. Yep. So are you enjoying your relationship with Idol?
Oh, yeah. Given that our first record we were able to put out on a record label, and I met Irv through the guys in the O's. And, and we've seen some really cool licensing, and we have some more fun stuff coming up. And
cool.
He works hard for the band, and this is his job. You know, it's not just like I have a record label, blah blah blah.
He's dedicated.
He's putting out records, and he's working every day. And you know, he's on our side, which is what we need.
That's great. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I couldn't imagine any other way that you guys would be handling your relationships with Irv and Idol, because he's been a big proponent of Texas music for a lot of years, and we definitely appreciate what he's doing over there in Dallas. A lot of people don't even know that Idol Records is there in Dallas, and it's a great thing to have, and doing great things for some up-and-coming bands like Dead Flowers. Guys, this has been a real blast. I appreciate
it. Thank you so much,
Matt.
I know that you weren't exactly driving by Commerce, so I know that you made a special trip out here for us. I cannot thank you guys enough. I hope you had a good time with me.
We Absolutely. Really enjoyed it. Thank you. Buddy.
Cheers.
Now you guys can say, I've been out there to KETR before. We hung out with that Matt Mankey guy. You know, we're adding you to a long list of Idol artists who have come out and hung out in the studio, so I appreciate you doing this. I'm going to send you home with some KETR goodies, and have a safe trip back to the Big D, guys.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it, Matt.